Imagine someone saying this: after the bee stinged me, I put on some smelly lotion. It really stinked. A functional illiterate, or a child, or a non-English speaker who's unaccustomed to irregular English verbs, just sticking ED on the end of every verb? How about an English speaker of the future, say the year 2500? There is an article in the journal Nature today that studies the speed at which irregular English verbs tend to become regular English verbs, and it concludes that irregular past tenses like stung, stunk, sang, struck will be on their way out before the next millennium. On the other hand, some other irregular past tense verbs like did, gave, and thought are likely to have more than 10 millennia to go. Why some words change and others don't, or do so much more slowly, is a question addressed by two articles in Nature, and they follow an introductory article by Tecumseh Fitch of St. Andrews University, who joins us now from Scotland. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Robert.
And first, let's take the article on the future of the past tense. The authors, Erez Lieberman, Jean-Baptiste Michel, Joe Jackson, Tina Tang, and Martin Novak, they come up with a formula about irregular verbs, how they tend to become regular, and which verbs are more likely to change faster than the others. What is it?
Well, the regularization depends on the frequency of word usage in the following specific way. The half-life of an irregular verb scales as the square root of its usage frequency. And I know that might sound a little confusing.
A little confusing.
What it really means is the more rare a word is, the more likely it is that it will become regularized.
And by regularized in this case, we mean instead of it being a present tense, I know, past tense, I knew. And some people naturally just want to say, I knowed. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't happened to that verb yet. But they would say the reason it hasn't is because we say I know so often and I knew so often.
That's right. And to take another example, the past tense of help was once hope. And now, of course, we all say help helped. So that's a great example of a relatively common verb that actually has become regularized in the recent history of the English language.
Recent history would be still measured in centuries in this case. As we're doing that. And what we're looking at is words that came down to us in one form from Old English and Middle English. And the investigators here have examined huge sources of language that have been written over the centuries to see when people said what as the past tense of which verb.
Yeah, we have a corpus of Old English, which is relatively small, a much more significant body of written work from Middle English, and of course a huge amount, an ever-growing amount in Modern English. They looked at actually 177 different verbs across those different time periods in order to come up with this relationship.
And help, hope, notwithstanding, the most common verbs in the English language, to be, to have, to go, to say, are irregular. They don't go past tense just with adding an ED. So we use them so often, the old usage survives.
Apparently. I think anyone who's learned a foreign language will recognize that that's the same in most languages. So we find the same thing in German or Italian or French, that verbs like to be, to have, to take, to go, tend to be irregular, or typically irregular in all those different languages.
Now, the other article in Nature by Mark Pagel, Quentin Atkinson, and Andrew Mead addresses a similar point. It's why is it that in languages that descended from Indo-European, words for some things, like water or the number two, are remarkably similar from one language to the next, while words for other things, like an animal's tail, say, are quite different? And again, it's about which words are more common.
Yes. So again, common words are resistant to change or resistant to replacement, whereas uncommon words seem to be rather easily substituted by new forms.
Why does language change at all? That is, why are we not saying I hope or as I used to help? Or why are we not all saying whatever the Indo-European word for tail was?
Well, I think that's really one of the fascinating deep questions that both of these papers raise but don't actually answer. The most traditional reason for language change is essentially an accumulation of error, similar to what you might find in random evolution, in biological evolution. So, for example, let's say your child learns a slightly different version of a word than what you say, and their child, your grandchild, learns a slightly different version. Even if those are very, very small differences over thousands of years, those will accumulate to be rather large differences.
Well, Professor Fitch, thank you very much for talking with us about it today.
It was my pleasure, Robert.
That's Professor Tecumseh Fitch of St. Andrews University in Scotland, who is a contributor to the current issue of the journal Nature.